We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the fifth chapter, the 17th Pasuk. The Navi had described the pride of the leaders and their dishonesty and how they would take advantage of the poor and steal from people. And so Hashem says they will be exiled and they will be humbled. And Hashem will be exalted as He brings justice to the world, and Hashem will be sanctified as He does kindness and justice to those that have led a moral and just life. And the Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'ra'u chivasim kidovram, v'chorvot mechim garim yochelu. V'ra'u chivasim, and the sheep will graze kidovram, as is their custom. And this is an allegory for the righteous that are compared to a herd of sheep. So they will graze in peace and tranquility the way they are accustomed to doing. And they won't have to deal with all the wicked. They won't have to deal with the destruction that settles on the wicked. V'chorvot mechim, and the destroyed houses of the wicked. Chorvot, the destroyed houses of mechim. Mechim is an interesting word. Meach is like marrow. So mechim are those that are filled with marrow, those that are fat. Chorvot mechim, the destroyed houses of those that are suffused with marrow, which is another way of saying those that are corpulent, those that are have been wealthy and taking advantage of the poor. Garim yochelu, the people who are like geirim, the people who were treated as strangers, the nobility and aristocracy would take advantage of the honest and righteous people. They'd make them feel like strangers in the country. So now they, the garim, the people that hitherto were treated as the sojourners, not as the citizens. Like today they call them settlers. They're not citizens. They're the settlers. Did you notice that term? You notice that's how they're viewed. There's a citizen that has a problem. There's a settler that has a problem. So garim, those that were treated as sojourners, they will be yochelu. They will consume chorvot mechim, the destroyed homes or the destruction of those that were corpulent, stealing from these honest people. Hoi, moshechei havon v'chavlei hashav. Woe to those that pull upon themselves sin with chavlei hashav, with ropes of falsehood. So what's he talking about? So these ropes of falsehood is really another way of saying thin ropes, ropes that really don't have any strength. So you have people who are moshchei he'avon. They pull sin onto themselves b'chavlei hashav, with ropes that really can't handle much. And what's he talking about? He's talking about a person's tendency to sometimes spur on his yetzer hara. A person can be sitting and everything's okay, but he decides, why shouldn't I go fantasize now? And then he purposely lets his thoughts wander. So really, every person can always sin in that direction. But sometimes he is moshchei avon. He pulls the sin upon himself, bechavlei hashav, with these thin ropes. Really, it wasn't necessary. He didn't have to do that. Vecha'avot ha'agala chata'a. So when a person does that, when they move themselves towards sin, when they arouse their evil inclinations from within, so then it becomes as thick as the rope that the wagon is pulled with. Those are the thick ropes that they can handle the weight of the wagon. So then ultimately their sin becomes thick like those thick ropes. And this is a very, very important concept. The Torah repeatedly warns us to control our thoughts. And as the Rambam writes in Ilchot Teshuvah, one of the more difficult things to do tshuva on, one of the more difficult things to repent about, is improper thoughts. Because a person tells himself, what did I do wrong? I'm just sitting here. I didn't do anything. It's hard to think that allowing our minds to wander in negative directions is a sin. But in truth, at the root of every crime is a thought. Meaning a person didn't wake up one day and go rape. He spent time fantasizing before he went and did that. A person didn't wake up one morning and do all kinds of terrible, hideous acts. He first let his desire develop from within. He let his thoughts wander. And then it led to what it led to. Hoy moshechei avon bechavlei hashav. Woe to those that begin by pulling sin onto themselves with these flimsy ropes. Didn't have to happen. You didn't have to move your thoughts in that direction. But once a person does, so then he ends up having such sin that it's carried with this huge rope and it's so hard for him to carry. And this really leads us to another point. I'll get back to you, Uri, in 1 second. This pasuk is really alluding to another concept which we learned in the Sefer HaMidot. I was talking to a psychologist this week, and I asked him why he thinks our generation has so many molesters. Why is it so common? Why? I'm not sure that previous generations had all these issues. Why? How does he see it? So the concept he said, I cut him off midway and I said, let me finish off that thought and give you more background to the thought. And I quoted to him the whole Magen Midubna and he was blown away because that was exactly what he was trying to say. And the idea is as follows. There are two approaches that a person can take to his desires. The approach that modern society takes is that I am my feelings. I am my desires. This is a part of the evolutionary theory that God gave or nature gives certain tendencies and desires to certain creatures, and that's why they want to be promiscuous, to spread their seed, to have more continuum, and this is all part of nature. What about my morality? What about my self-control? That's something external. That's something that's learned. That's something that's fighting my nature. That's modern science. What does the Torah tell us? Ki ha'elokim bara et ha'adam yashar. God created man straight. There's a reason why Chazal tell us that in a mother's womb the kid is perfect and pure and learning the whole Torah. Ve'ema bikshu chishuvim rabim. But the man goes around and brings upon himself moshchei avon bechavlei yashar. It's a world of a difference. We say, your soul is pure. We say it every morning. Elokai neshama shenatata bi, tehorahi. Who am I? I am pure. What type of soul do I have? I have the purest soul. It's God. It's a part of God that's in me. Who am I? I am the good person. I have an external desire. Sure, I have desires. Sure, I have to contend with them. But that's not me. Modern psychology would have you think, oh, well, you have these desires, that's a part of who you are, now you have to control it. No! You have purity within you. A person has to connect to his ideals, to his morality, to his moral, to his moral fiber, to the ethics he believes in. That has to be a part of who he is, to the point where his desires are something external. Yeah, I know. I have those weaknesses and attractions and those things to contend with. And that's why the Navi over here describes a person who goes after his desire or who arouses his desires as someone who is moshchei avon. He's pulling the sin onto himself. Look at the beautiful, the subtle point that he's making here. Sin is external. Desire is external. Oh, you could pull it onto yourself. You could have your mind wander there, but it's not you. Even when he's describing the sinners, he's describing one who's pulling onto himself the sin. But who am I? I'm still that pure, good person. I have issues, of course. I have what to contend with, but that's all external to me. And that's where a person has to develop his connection to the Torah, to the morals of the Torah, to the ethics of the Torah. A person has to develop to the point where he identifies with it and he says, that's me. Yeah, I have my weaknesses. I have the attractions that are external. But that's not me. That's where I have to fight with it. And when a person can develop his values in that way, so then he has the tools to deal with the temptations of life. When a person approaches life as I am desire. That's who I am. I am an alcoholic, drug addict. When my identity becomes my desire, so then how can I control it? That's who I am. What do you want? I have this problem. Guys, you with me? Yeah, just a second. We'll read.
Well, I heard a concept. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I agree with you like 99% of the time with everything you say. But here, I don't fully disagree, but I do partly disagree. Society is not saying, at least from what I see, that your desires are you, but they're saying certain desires are okay to pursue that really aren't. Like morality and stuff like that, that is old-fashioned. That part is true, but they say that is old-fashioned, and that nature is something that is relative to the individual, and it's nice to, you know, build on your feelings and let keep our feelings take us, but I think they have a certain set of emotions that they want you to feel, that they want you to be. Like, it's not like every man for himself sort of thing. Society has, like, a set of emotions that they want you to feel.